I can't believe my daddy is dead. I can think of so many people I would rather have died first. Like my mother.
Apparently Alan's been off his meds for almost 6 months.
Oh God, look at him now.
We're all here to tell you about an awesome place called New Horizons.
That does sound awesome.
You know the best thing about these hangover movies, or at least you know what the major complaint about the second one was, whatever? They're doing the same thing again or whatever. Now, you know what the best thing about this third one is? They're doing something different, but goddamn, I missed that last thing they did.
You know what, P1? I was afraid this day was going to come.
And what would that be?
The day where I have to sit here and stick to my guns and take the rage that's going to come at me, but I'm gonna do it. I'm gonna do it.
Damn, get to the point, bro.
You know what? I like this movie. There, I said it.
And you know what? I would not fault you if you did like this movie, because I see the reviews. I hear the people telling me about it, whatever. They're saying this is fucking god awful. This is horrible. And I saw the movie and I looked at it and I said, it's not gothful, it's just not as crazy as the first and second one.
That's,
so therefore there's not a lot of comedy in it. So
that's my whole thing. I've told everyone who's asked me about this, I've told them if the name The Hangover was not on this movie, it would not be getting nearly as much shit as it is.
No, and I think that's what happens, because by the time they get to Vegas in this film, which is like the last 30 minutes maybe or whatever, nothing happens as far as like you're expecting, like Ed Helms' character, like he's always the one that gets something really fucked up to him. You expected something like that to happen, and no, not really. No, I mean, nothing really happens to these characters like you see in the first two, whatever. And where I saw that, I didn't go like, this is god awful, this is horrible, I didn't want to see this. But where I went was just like, it's just no comedy in it. So I mean, it's not a bad movie. That's just like, I'm not laughing as hard as I was.
I actually was really entertained by it. I liked that they did something different. And yeah, there's not as much comedy in it, but it still is a pretty entertaining story.
It's a decent ending, I say that or whatever. It's a somewhat ending to a trilogy or for something, because it's like by the third goddamn time, nothing can go crazy. What can top the last two movies, honestly, of craziness?
Well, let's start with the plot, shall we?
Yeah, okay. The Hangover 3 is the third and final film in director Todd Phillips' record-shattering comedy franchise. I bet this is going to make a lot of... This time, there's no wedding, no bachelor party. We could be wrong, though. But when the Wolfpack hits the road, all bets are off. And they have to embower O'Hare with Mr. Chow once again. Oh, and what basically is Mr. Chow, he done fucked up again. He done stole money from some people he didn't have to. And basically the Wolfpack, which is played by John Goodman or whatever, and the Wolfpack has to find him and give him back to John Goodman so he can pretty much murder this asshole.
Right. So let's begin with the actual plot. So the movie reveals in the first couple minutes that Alan has been off his med for 4 months, and nothing good ever comes off with Alan off his meds.
Okay, the movie opened up with him and that fucking giraffe. I ain't never laughed so hard at Animal Cruelty. I bet people was all over this shit. I ain't gonna lie. Because that was that probably was the funniest thing in here to me. Almost, I as we go into scenes, I'll probably think of something else. But I think that was hilarious because they got family dropping up behind them, and they're just like, I wonder where he's going with that. And then you just see this head flying to the windshield. It's like, that's where he's going, bitch.
So, in the aftermath of the whole giraffe incident, Alan's dad, after yelling at Alan to get a life, has a heart attack and drops dead.
While Alan has headphones on, you can hear it. Damn.
Is it cruel to say I laughed at that?
No, because I laughed too, whatever. But the look in Alan's eyes is like, I could care less or whatever, because before that happened, he looked in his dad's eyes and said, "You're bluffing." And
uh-huh.
Then and I was like, man, what a dick, honestly, or whatever.
Right. So we then cut to the funeral, in which we get the really funny joke from the trailer that you and I laughed at really hard.
That was hilarious.
That was great.
It opens up with him singing, and then everybody's just staring at him and just like, my God.
He's beautiful. And then
he
goes up to the stage and says, there's so many people I wish would have died before you, Dad. Like my mother.
And she starts crying, and Zach Galifianakis' sister in the movie, she just starts hugging him on like, oh.
And then I forget what it was, but he makes...
And he ends it by saying, like, even though I was your favorite child. And the sister looks at him like, what the...
Like the fuck you were. But so Bradley Cooper and Ed Helms' characters, Stu and I forget Bradley Cooper's.
But before that, though, he also says, because his father tells him, you need to grow up and change. You're a 40-year-old man. He's like, I'm 42, whatever. But he tells him the eulogy, I'll never forget the last word you told me, Dad. Never change.
Yeah, and it's like, the mother gives him a look of like, you did not just say that.
He says that shit three times, and he puts emphasis on each time he says it. And all you can see in the audience is like Bradley Cooper and Ed Helms' character. They're just staring at him like, oh, God.
Yeah. So, Doug goes over to Stu and Phil and is like, look, guys, here's what we're planning. We got to do an intervention now.
Yeah, he's like, oh, and I love what Bradley Cooper line of Phil. He says, he's like, why? Because of the giraffe thing? I thought that was pretty funny, actually. I yelled out in my seat. I was like, I did too. Why nobody else laughed?
Yeah. So, but what I love is at first, Phil and Stu are like, no, we would never do that. And then they look over to see Alan, like, making fun of, like, the cemetery and all that shit. And they're both like, I'm in.
Yeah. Oh, it was Stu was like, he's like, I gotta tell you something, too, whatever. Alan's been showing up to my office or whatever and just sitting there reading magazines and filling out crossword puzzles.
Filling out the highlights, crossword puzzles, and then leaving.
Yeah, just leaving. He doesn't say anything. Just leave. And I was like, man, what the fuck is wrong with Alan, whatever. But they get back to the house, right, and he just already talking shit as soon as they walk through the door.
Oh, no, wait. Before we get to that, we have to talk about my favorite joke of the whole movie.
Oh, please remind me. I can't remember.
When they're at the dinner, and and the wives are like, I mean, the tattoo was the first thing. Yes, that was the worst thing. Isn't that right, Stu? Yeah, you should get that checked out. What? You know, from the ink? Needle of the ink. You know, the ink.
All that ink inside you. And one other thing I got to mention. How hot is Stu's wife? God damn.
That is a fine Asian.
You know, every woman in here is fine, except, well, all their wives are, except for Bradley Cooper's, which I'm like, I don't understand.
That did not go where I think it was going to go.
I said, did you ask for this, Bradley Cooper? I know usually you get the hot one hotter than these are, so what happened here?
I thought you were going to say, except for the one that Alan falls for, because we talked about on our last episode how she's a cancer on comedy right now.
I'm not even going to acknowledge that bitch was in this movie, but,
So, they pretty much tell Alan, look, you're going to therapy. There's no way around it.
Yeah, exactly. And then, you know what, I ain't gonna lie, I did laugh when he did that meme cry from the that YouTube video. I was just like, okay, that is kind of hilarious. You know what, actually the first 20-25 minutes of this movie is where it's like crazy and hilarious or whatever and stuff where I was laughing on. Then pretty much after they get taken by John Goodman or whatever, it kind of tones down a little bit.
The comedy stops. Kind of dead in its tracks.
Yeah, the comedy stops. And it becomes serious because, you know, Phil and Stu, they're just like, look, dude, we don't want to. They didn't even want to do this shit in the first place. They're just like, whenever we out with him, shit happens and we go over a stream. And, you know, we tired of that shit now. Okay, once, hey, that's luck of the random draw here.
We are checking every drink that we drink anywhere near him.
Yeah, and then Alan explains the fucking marshmallows or whatever and shit. And he's like, if I would have ate four, I could have died. And he's like, but nobody eats four marshmallows. I'm just like, oh my.
Yeah, so. They get on the road to take Alan, and they get captured by a bunch of guys in pig masks to reveal that they are working for John Goodman. And then Black Doug comes back into the picture and reveals that he's working for John Goodman.
I ain't gonna lie, I started laughing when they kept calling him. They just kept saying Black Doug.
Black Doug, and he's like, motherfucker!
Just seeing the look on his face, he's like, hey, stop it with that Black Doug shit, whatever. And they were just like, well, why is Black Doug? He's like, hey, goddammit!
So... John Goodman pretty much tells him, look, here's the deal. Mr. Chow, who you all love so much, has stolen $21 million worth of gold from me. Now, either you guys find him, or I'm killing Doug. Well, how do you know that we know him? Well, the wolf pack from Alan's letter seems to know him very well. I love how Stu and Phil just look at Alan like, what did you do?
It's like, God damn it, Alan, once again, man.
Yeah, Jesus so... Christ. So they take Doug and they give him 3 days to find Chow.
He was writing. Mr. Chow and Alan was talking about some stupid shit though. They're just like, "Hey, I pissed in this guy's whatever and stuff." And even John Goodman pointed that out. He's like, Mr. Chow makes no contact with anyone except they start exchanging stupid ass letters about nothing.
There's and only
he
one.
Reading some of them, and I was just like, "God damn, was he really writing letters about this?"
And the thing is, like, oh, there's only one connection between all the letters, and that's the Wolf Pack. The Wolf Pack. Well, we might not be in that. Phil, Stu, and Alan. You fucking idiot.
The look Stu gave Alan, he just looked at him like. You know what? It comes to a point where the first one, you could forgive him at some time because it's just like, okay, he suffers from Asperger. He's kind of a little mental or whatever. And
right.
It happened. The second time, it's like, okay, you know what? I need to stop hanging around you. But the third time, it's just like, you need your ass kicked now.
Right. So they pretty much come to the conclusion, okay, Chow's fucking crazy. And the only way we're going to get him to John Goodman is if we drug his ass.
And how they find him is by fucking Alan, you know, which this is in the trailer or whatever. Alan, like a week ago, had a fucking email from him or whatever, and it read out, let's meet up, I'm in Tijuana. And he's like, how come you couldn't figure out that this was him? He's like, because I thought it said Chow, Rivadochi, and stuff like that. And they looked at him and was just like, God damn it, man.
You are stupid.
Like, he wasn't irritating me as far as, like, in the movie, as far as, like, oh, I hate this character. He was irritating me to the point, if I was with him, I'd just be looking at him like, fuck, Alan.
I would have punched him.
We're getting fucking kidnapped by motherfuckers in pig masks and shit, and here you got information on the motherfucker.
I would have given the Demerol to him.
That would have been just the quietest drive ever had I been driving. I'd just been looking at him like, this can't be. Just kill me, goddamn it.
Right. So that's another scene that we forgot to mention that actually made me laugh really hard is they pretty much say, okay, we gotta get drugs that's gonna knock him out. Stu, you're a dentist. Can you go get us some Demerol and some needles?
I love the kid that's working at the store. He tells him, he's like, you need to have a doctor to prescribe. He's like, I am a doctor. He says here you're a dentist. That's a red flag right there, too.
That's the thing, like, all this stuff where it's like, yeah, that's a red flag, that's a red flag, that's a red flag. What are you? I'm a dentist. Oh, that's a red flag. Dad!
I like it, because he comes on, he's just like, how'd it go? He's like, went well, almost lost my dental license, but that's neither here nor there, so.
We got the Demerol.
I'm like, you know, at this time, I'm just like, you know what, Stu? I wouldn't be surprised if you'd be like, you know what, just fucking kill me, John Goodman, in this movie. Because, you know what, my character's been through so much shit now, whatever. I don't know how a human being can live with this, honestly.
Right, he's got a fine-ass wife, that's how.
Yeah, oh, yeah, you know what, I forgot about that. Never mind, you know, keep me alive for a little bit longer. But you know what, he might be having flashbacks every time he fucks her or whatever. He might.
Oh, if I could be with that dick. No, no.
What if his wife tells him, you want to do something kinky tonight? No. let's just fluff the pillows and have the normal sex going.
We are not doing anything out of the ordinary. But I got cuff not out of the ordinary.
Every time she gets on top, he's screaming and shit.
Not the ink again.
Oh, especially because she's Asian too. For sure.
I see, we just made a funnier joke that should have been dawned upon in the movie.
No. Oh, man. But, you know, hey, I hear a lot of people saying that Mr. Chow is annoying. I'm sick of that guy. And I'm probably the one guy that actually likes him in these movies, whatever, because I'm like, that's his character. That's him in this movie, whatever. And I like the fact that he stays consistent in it. In this movie, I didn't find him too much as funny as over the top he was. He's over the top in this one, but he's not as funny as he's, you know, he's pretty much being chased or whatever. So
right.
It's more of him being kind of the villain to these guys, whatever. So he has nothing really funny to go along with. And with the stuff he does do, it's just like, not only, Alan, do I want to kick your ass, but I'm going to kick Mr. Chow's ass when I get his ass, too.
Yeah. So the guys, after getting the Demerol, go down to Tijuana because they find out that's where Chow is. And Chow pretty much tells them, after they try to drug him and it fails, that, you know, oh, I'm going to go get the gold back, and I'm going to go give it to Marshall, who's played by John Goodman. So that way this can all get fixed. Here's the house that we're robbing. All we got to do is just get in there, and we'll be good. We'll get the gold and everything. So they do that.
Which only for pretty funny, actually.
Only for Chow to turn around and say, oh, yeah, fuck all you.
Yeah. And the outcome, I got to say, was pretty goddamn funny because he turns the alarm on them and they get arrested. Next thing you know, they get freed and taken back in the house, and they're all looking like, and here I'm thinking just like, oh shit, is this another, was this a house to a mob boss or something like that in Tijuana? And then it turns out it was John Goodman's house all along.
So the other $21 million that he got was stolen.
That was a pretty goddamn funny outcome right there. I was just like, oh, fuck me, man. But what was funnier is after John Goodman kills Black Doug.
Yeah, because that's his head of security. Alan's pissed his pants, and John Goodman's like, oh, I'm sorry.
But the funny part about that was he's just like, and he killed two helpless dogs or whatever and shit. And it was like, we didn't kill him. We just drugged him. And then he's like, oh, you didn't know because you probably didn't see. But Chow snapped their necks. I said, and then he was just looking at him like, oh, Chow's fucked up on a really good spot.
Oh, I forgot at the beginning. They're like, what did Chow do to you? He fucked me in the ass. Oh, he does that.
It was funny because when he said that, I was like, that little dick, he ain't fucking nobody in the ass. And then that's when John Goodman comes out and say, not literally. And I was like, oh, not literally? I thought he did mean literally too, honestly.
But it's just like, you know, after Black Doug gets killed, it's another really funny scene where Alec pees his pants and John Goodman's character is like, oh, I'm sorry you had to witness that. I know it's terrifying. Go get Alan some sweatpants so he can get this job done, please.
Yeah. John Goodman actually was pretty good in this movie.
I thought he was great.
Actually, the actors in this movie, none of them was really bad. I don't know where the negative... I guess I can't see where the negative... People was coming in here expecting fucking all-out craziness, hilariousness. It was like,
oh, it wasn't. Something different.
But it wasn't, and they didn't get that, and they didn't get as many laughs. But I thought all the actors in here did play the character as consistent as the first two movies.
Yeah. No, I agree with that. I think, you know, I like all the characters that they managed to bring back. Like, they actually, after the whole, you know, stealing thing... They pretty much figure out that Chow has gone back to Vegas, in which Stu goes, fuck that.
Because how they find it is Phil used the phone tracker because his phone was left in the van that Chow stole. And then when he finds out, you can see the look on Bradley Cooper's face. He's just like, you're not going to want to hear this.
Hey, guys, I found him. Oh, no.
When they drive back into Vegas, you see the look on Ed Helms. He's just beating his head again. He made it seem like this really did happen to him in real life, actually.
Yeah, that's true. Where he's just like, do we have to go back?
Which I gotta laugh, because I started thinking in the movie, I was just like, I don't know why he's so concerned with Vegas after Bangkok. I mean, shit.
Is he never gonna go to Asia again?
I was like, shit, Vegas is tame compared to what happened in Bangkok.
Right. So they go back. They go back, and, as we said, you know, Stu's freaking out.
Well, we get to this scene when they first get to Vegas, the fucking Alan and the bitch at the goddamn pawn shop, Melissa McCarthy. What the fuck was they thinking putting her in this movie? And honestly, this is probably the worst scene in the movie.
Yeah, no, I agree. The only funny part about the scene is that, so pretty much Melissa McCarthy only likes Alan and tells Alan, you know, Chow got an escort service, good luck trying to find him. And then they start flirting with each other by eating each other's lollipop. And the best part is, like, Phil's just like, what the fuck, and Stu's gagging.
Yeah, he's like, oh, everybody knows that gag Stu does, whatever. He does that shit like 3 times in the movie, whatever. But that was probably the best part of the movie, because I felt the same way, and I was just looking at them like, And the first thing that came to my head, great, we found a female version of Alan who's probably more annoying and obnoxious because she actually isn't retarded.
And I was like, who could they ever get the... Oh, what a surprise.
And I think I would have preferred Alan marrying Mr. Chow and just coming out.
You know what? That probably would have been funnier.
Yeah. I think that could have worked a little bit better, because they kind of was throwing hints in there about that.
Yeah, no, I think that would have been great. But so after they figure out they got an escort service, Stu and Phil are just like, well, how are we going to figure out who's an escort?
And she looks great in this movie. She still looks fucking good. Did that woman ever age?
No, they pretty much what they do is they go back to Stu's hooker wife. I forget her name, but she's played by Heather Graham.
In the movie.
Yeah. And you are right, dude. She looks amazing.
She looks younger than both of us put together, actually.
Right. And,
when she opened that door, I said, I was expecting, like, at least to look a little bit older. I mean, the first Hangover movie was fucking a while ago or whatever. And when I saw her run, I was like, wow, she didn't age not one goddamn bit in this 5 years time period or whatever. I was like, man, she looks amazing. And then I started looking at the house. I was like, wait a minute, what's going on here?
Right. So Jade reveals that she married a surgeon. Lucky her.
Big ass son.
Huh?
Her son got a bigger head.
Yeah, and they find out that little baby Carlos is actually grown up now, and Alan...
Carlos is?
Yeah. Alan reveals... Alan talks to Carlos while Phil and... Phil and Stu pretty much get Jade to help them out and figure out where Chow is. So they figure out that he's at the Caesar Palace. But I'm with you. This is actually... There's the most uncomfortable scene.
It was. I was just like... There's a happy family here, and Alan goes in here with, like, the most absurd bullshit here or whatever, and he pretty much tells his kid, that man's not your real father. I was like, oh, my God.
I am. Like, I'm your father, little one. And I was just like, that's not right.
Even for this movie, like which I was like, I don't even feel comfortable. I was like, that is the most fucked up thing you can tell a 7-year-old kid in this goddamn. Like, he's probably younger than that, actually.
Right, and I was sitting there, I was like, you know, when you're in the writing room for this, who thought this was funny?
It was probably the most awkward scene in the whole movie, right?
Right, and
probably the whole franchise, actually. Like, even with the prostitute fucking Stu, I could go along with that.
But that was at least funny. Like, that was...
This is actually the part where I could see where people was like talk about Alan that they hate his character or whatever. I felt that right here.
No, I agree. It's just so painful and uncomfortable to watch.
Yeah, because it goes on for like a good 5 minutes.
Yeah. And
him just telling this kid like you know, your real name is Carlos, and you know your so called mother raised you right, whatever. And I don't know your father. He's probably not all that great, and you know I'm your.
It does. It does save itself at the end by him saying that. Like, look, you know, your mom raised you well. Your father's probably a great guy. He's giving you a good house.
Yeah, but it's
still uncomfortable, though. I agree with you.
This little kid, though, is just probably when that father come home, he's gonna be looking at him like, not even my real father.
Well, they explain like within the first two, like the first seconds of them talking, that he knows it's not his real father.
Oh, thank God.
I think you maybe missed that point, but I remember that because I remember him saying he's not my real dad.
Yeah, it just.
And then he asked Alan if he was, and Alan, being the idiot that he is, said yes.
If I was when they first run into Heather Graham, and then Zach Galifianakis' character said, "Hey Jay, do you mind if I have some go talk to the little guy?" If I was Stu, I'd have looked at her and be like, "Hell no, no,
don't let him."
Oh God, no.
So. I think at this point, you know, after Jade reveals, yeah, he's at the Caesar Palace in the suite. That's actually Caesar where the movie. Palace. That's where the movie kicks in the high gear for me.
That the Caesar Palace is where the first one started.
Right, and they find
that same room.
Right, so Chow is having the party to end all parties with all the gold that he just stole.
And, yeah,
and you know, hookers blow everything, and. Stu, they devise a plan where Stu's going to wait in the car, and Alan and Phil are going to climb to the top, use a towel ladder to jump down to the suite balcony, which is actually a pretty terrifying scene.
Yeah, and I got to say, this is, I think in this part of the movie or whatever, by the time we got to Vegas, you can tell that these characters were more serious and that they had grown up from those last two films. Where, well, you know, if they never were grown, it was just Alan. I was always fucking around with them, whatever. But they seemed to take things more precautious this time, whatever. And was just like, you know what? We can't have this shit happening to us all the time. We're grown-ass men. We're married. We got kids and shit.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I kind of liked the matureness out of it, whatever. I mean, it ain't all the crazy fun I was expecting. But I'm just like, for three goddamn movies, how crazier can it fucking get? I mean, the last one was crazy enough.
Right. No, I agree.
But no, the scene pretty was, you know, once, Phil got down, I was kind of like, oh, that doesn't look so bad, but when Alan's fat ass just fucking, did you see how he hopped over the damn thing? I was just like, oh my God.
Yeah, no, that's where I actually, cause I have a fear of heights. Like when he jumped and hit the balcony, I was like, oh!
You should have heard everybody in the audience. They said, oh shit. and me and I was just like, yeah, jump off, motherfucker.
Yeah, no, so the two of them make it successfully. They cornered Chow, only for Chow to jump off the balcony with the parachute.
But before that, can I ask you a question?
Sure.
How funny is it that Mr. Chow always beating the shit out of Phil in these movies? like each one of these movies, he gets like Phil and him get into it or whatever, and Child ends up whooping his ass. I'm just like,
I agree.
This just proves size doesn't matter.
No, I agree, and you're right. It's hilarious
because Phil grabs him and holds him by both arms, holds him against the wall. And you think like Phil Bradley Cooper's a pretty big dude, or whatever. He's in shape and everything. He can hold him over there, but Child headbutts him.
Right. So
and takes him down.
Yeah, so he jumps off the building, and they call Stu, warning him, like, Stu?
Look up.
Look up. Follow him, please.
And this dude is doped out of his mind. He's hot. You can tell in his eyes, because he just, oh, pretty. And I was just looking at him, like, oh, my God.
You're like,
I ain't gonna lie, that was pretty fun. I ain't gonna lie.
Yeah, because Stu looks up and is like, what's he saying? I love cocaine! Oh, God.
And you see in the trailer that he's singing "I Believe I Can Fly." No, he sings the whole damn song. He don't sing the chorus. He sings the song.
Yeah. So he crashes down, and Stu eventually gets him. They lock him in the trunk of the car and drive to go meet John Goodman.
Okay. I ain't gonna lie, but I started laughing when Stu picked his little ass up, and he's like, "You can see how small he is when Stu picks him up," and he just drops his ass in the trunk. I was like, damn, he fits so perfectly.
No, I thought it was really funny when they're driving over and you hear him in the trunk threatening him. And he's like, guys, I'm sorry.
Okay, I've seen that before somewhere. There's a skit that does that, whatever. And I thought that's hilarious. I can't remember what it was, whatever. But, no, that was hilarious. When he's like, come on, guys, let me out, whatever. And, you know, once again, I got to go with Alan. I got to go against Alan, whatever. Because Alan... He leaves the back seat open or whatever. He opens up the back seat so Child can get out. And I was just looking at him like, Alan, goddamn it, man.
Yeah, so basically, they go to meet Marshall, and Marshall hands over Doug, and they say, you know, Chow's in the trunk. Marshall and his slug shoot the trunk repeatedly, only to open up and find Chow's not there. Chow gets out of the back and shoots the both of them, killing them.
He shoots out the sunroof or whatever when they turn their back, and he shoots both of them on the back. And Alan pretty much tells him, I left the back seat open for him to get out.
You left him a gun, too? It wasn't a plan that was exactly thought out through. Oh, you...
Yeah, so, because he comes out with a gun pointing at Brett, Stu, Zach, Alan, and Doug, whatever, and Phil. And I'm just looking like, God damn it, Alan, man, I want to kick your ass again or whatever. It kind of almost... I mean, I don't want to see a grown man get shot in the back of a trunk, but at the same time...
right, so...
could have popped out of the trunk and killed us.
So... Alan pretty much tells Chow, you know, it's not their fault. Put the gun down. We're not going to hurt you. It's done. It's done. So
he pretty much says it's not Phil's fault because he jumps in front of Phil and says, if you're going to go through Phil, you got to go through Phil.
Right. So it's pretty much at this point where Alan realizes, look, there's something messed up with me. I need to get my stuff together. He tells Chow we can't be friends anymore.
Yeah, because he's like, every time something bad happens, whenever we get together, something bad. And he's like, that's the point. It's funny. Fine.
Yeah.
Yeah, that is kind of the point, actually.
So, Alan tells the guys, you know, leave me in Las Vegas. I'll come home at some point. And they're like, I just love how they're just like, okay, and drive away.
No, I was just like, wow, none of them think to go ahead and say, like, no, we're not leaving you here because you can cause a lot of chaos, number one, and we'll be held responsible. Number two... you're kind of retarded, so no, whatever. But he pretty much told him, like, I'm a grown man. I'm 40-something years old, whatever. I can do that. I was just like, oh, damn, excuse the fuck out of me. Well, fuck you then.
So, yeah, so he goes back to Melissa McCarthy's character, oh, goody, and pretty much asks her out on a date, and then it flash forwards to 5 months later where they're at Alan's wedding.
Like I said, I always thought it would have been Mr. Chow, honestly, walking down the aisle with him.
Right, so they reveal that Alan's getting married to Melissa McCarthy's character, and...
tells them she's much better than all your wives. I was just looking at him like...
The hell?
The hell she is, number one. And at first I was just like, wow, Alan's finally grown up. Took him 3 movies, but he finally grew up. But then he said that line, and I was just like, Alan ain't learned a goddamn thing.
Right, when he said that line, it was just like, have fun when she shits in your sink.
I know, exactly, whatever. Have fun when that fat bitch won't shut the fuck up. But then again, those two are alike, so...
The movie ends with them walking out to Alan's wedding, which is actually a nice... You know, it's a nice way to wrap up the story. It's a
flashback, kind of, too, of them always walking from the first previous two movies.
Right. No, that's true. It's a nice way to wrap around the series. And I think the best way to describe this movie, at least for me in terms of reviewing it, you know, it's not perfect. There's some problems with the dialogue here and there. There's some points where it does drag. But I will say the story is entertaining enough and the mystery is entertaining enough of what's going to happen to keep it going. That's the one thing that's kept all these movies entertaining, at least to me, is that there is an element of, you know, how did this happen or what's going to happen that keeps me going throughout the movies. And it's the same thing with this one. I think it actually, it does it as just a little bit less than the first one, but it does it much more than the second one with me with this one. Because I was concerned, you know, are they going to find Chow? Are they going to get dug back? What's going to happen when the eventual showdown does happen?
Mm-hmm. Well, one thing I got to say, you say that keeps you interested in the movie. I think one thing that keeps me invested in these movies is the characters itself. I love all the characters in this movie. I love the chemistry that Stu, Phil, and Alan have together or whatever, even though he's this over-the-top, full-of-life character. Or whatever. I love the appearance of Mr. Chow in it. I will say it's a comedy movie, and I didn't laugh as much as I did in the second one. And when I did laugh, I wasn't laughing as hard, so I think I enjoyed the second one more better on that note or whatever. But as far as being a wrap-up, I didn't mind, and I got to actually disagree with some of the reviews here or whatever, they're saying that it's god-awful.
I find myself disagreeing with a lot of reviews. I think the thing with me, like I said at the beginning, is, you know, if the name The Hangover wasn't on this and it was marketed as just maybe an action mystery movie, I think it would be faring so much better critically.
I think, honestly, if it would have just been a comedy movie or whatever, if that wasn't the name The Hangover, it still would have been, it would have been decent or whatever. But since it is The Hangover and we're expecting this over-the-top craziness to happen or whatever, it gets flaws for it.
Right.
And I will admit, like you said, like, this isn't a perfect movie. It's not even nearly a great movie or whatever. It's decent. It's not even like going over the top good or whatever. But I mean, there is some things here that, like, where you just like, oh, well, that kind of didn't make me laugh, whatever. I can't say that none of the scenes don't go anywhere, because I felt like each scene does go somewhere, and it wraps up pretty goddamn quickly. I mean, the movie moves at a pretty fast pace, so, you know.
It flows very nicely.
Yeah, it flows very nicely, so I can never say in this movie, oh, that scene didn't go anywhere, or this one, because I felt like each scene did go somewhere, and it actually did add something to the movie.
Right.
And at the end, we get, after, like a once again, another little post-credit thing, whatever happens, we get Alan coming out, everybody's waking up in their room all passed out and everything, and then fucking Stu comes out with titties now.
Oh, I missed that shit.
Oh, you missed it? Oh, yeah. Okay. Well, Stu comes out, and he has a boo job. He comes out in pink panties, and he's just like, guys, look at me. He's like, how crazy are we? I woke up in pink panties or whatever and stuff, and they're just laughing at him. They're just like, nah, Stu, look at your chest, man. He's just like, oh, I got titties. And then Mr. Chow comes out, and he's like, butt-ass naked again. I was like, man, he's got a tiny dick.
Oh, now I'm actually glad I missed that.
And then all he says is, we had a sick night, bitches. And I was like, they didn't learn a goddamn thing. And I gotta say, I didn't think it was as funny as the second one, but I hope they don't make another one, for the simple fact that I don't want to see Melissa McCarthy in this franchise now.
I'm with you. I really don't want to see another one. I think this one wrapped it up nicely.
Yeah, and I don't want to see that. Because when I saw the ending of the movie, I said, that was a nice wrap-up. But then when I saw that one with the Stu had titties and shit, I was like, oh, my God, please don't.
Please don't do this. I'm glad I left. I'm actually glad that you told me that and I left.
But you didn't miss much out of that. You would have probably been like, oh, well, they didn't learn a goddamn thing then, honestly, or whatever.
Yeah, so, you know, that's Hangover 3. I don't think it's a perfect movie, but I don't think it deserves as much hate as it's getting.
No, not nearly. I hear a lot of people saying that it doesn't go anywhere or whatever. I'm just like, it goes to an ending. That's what it needed to go to.
No, the story flows nicely. There are some problems here and there. You know, the dialogue is pretty damn bad at points. But, you know, I have to give this series a lot of credit for not doing the same thing again, which probably would have pissed me off even more.
Really?
Yeah, no. Because that was my big problem with 2, was just this was the same thing over again. And if they would have done that for the third time, I would have been like, man, screw this.
Well, the second one, like I said, I think we're kind of on the same here as far as you with the third one and me with the second one. With the second one, I saw the flaws that it had in it, whatever. But I'll be damned if I didn't laugh at it and was laughing hard at some of the shit that happened. I saw that it repeated the same thing. But with the third one, I could see that too. If it would have happened again where Alan drugged him, it would have been to the point where we need to just murder this dude or whatever. But
right.
Like you said, I do like the where they went with this one. I thought it was actually a pretty good, damn decent story, whatever. The characters, once again, they have that chemistry they always have, whatever, and it stays consistent with all three of the films.
Yeah. And that's, you know, that's the whole thing with me. I give the series a lot of credit for taking a bold step and doing something different when everyone expected them to, you know, be a crazy comedy movie. And it wasn't. I feel like this is more they made the movie that they wanted to make.
Yeah, I felt like they just said, okay, we got to mature up and let's wrap this up. Let's right. wrap it up. The series is over. So, and I felt like they did. Now, if they make another one, then I'm just going to be like, you know what? I got to go back on my...
Yeah, no, I agree with you on that. If they make a fourth one, I'm going to be like, you know what? Maybe.
Yeah.
But as it is right now, I'm actually going to give this a rent it.
Okay.
A low rent it. Low rent it, high stream it, that area. I do think some people might like it, but, you know, if you're expecting a crazy comedy out of this, you know, look somewhere else.
You know what? With you saying that, I walked in here expecting a crazy comedy or whatever, and even though I didn't get that, I didn't walk out upset and go like, oh, I didn't even get what I want or what I thought it came for. I mean, when I walked out, I was just like, oh, okay, well, that series is over now.
Yeah.
Kind of gonna miss these characters, or whatever. But you know what? This is something that should end or whatever. If it goes on any longer, it's just gonna wear itself. It's welcome out or whatever. And I guess I'm with you. I'm gonna give it a high stream it. I'm up in that area. I mean, I feel like it's nothing you need to rush out to see. But if you know, if you're a fan of the series, you can go ahead and see it or whatever. And you know,
make your own opinion.
Yeah, you'd have to make your own opinion on this because the reviews on here, you might even agree with some of them that like, oh, this is shitty or whatever. And I hear Lehu even saying the dialogue or whatever. And the dialogue actually didn't even bother me that much. I mean, I agree with him, Lehu, on this or whatever, but it didn't bother me as much. It just bothered me I think the one thing that kept me going is like, where's this going to go?
Yeah, no, I agree. And that was the thing, you know. When I saw with the people that I saw with, that was one thing I told all of them is that, you know, what kept me going through the story is that how's this going to end? You know, is there going to be a showdown? What's going to happen? And I actually do like the ending that they had. It was a nice, you know, it was a nice 1-2 punch where I was like, wow, that was actually pretty awesome.
Oh, good thing you didn't stay then.
Yeah, I agree. So, that's Hangover 3, everyone.
Yeah, Hangover Part 3, Electric
Bad joke. We're ending on that.
Never mind.
I'm disappointed in you, old sport.
That does not fit in that. But fuck it, part two, Electric Boogaloo.
Good night, everybody.
Yeah, good night. I'm gonna save my goddamn line.
We can't be friends anymore.
When we get together, bad things happen and people get hurt.
Yeah, that's the point. It's funny.
It all ends tonight.
Oh. I believe I can fly.
I love cocaine!
Cassie, I'm hungry.
Mom, I'm with a customer.
She's rude.
You hear that, Mom? Nobody likes you.
Yeah, keep your mouth shut.
Oh.